We said our farewells, each bravely smiling, and I called the men to their duties. Cables were cast off, the sail hoisted, the rowing team took to their benches, the helmsmen steered us around the sandbanks, and before long, the last of Ea and its beguiling goddess dwindled into nothing behind us. The winds, Circe had promised, bellied the sails, so I climbed onto the afterdeck and bade the men ship oars for a moment while I addressed them. We are approaching the island of the Sirens, men. Yes, I know, I thought the same, but Circe assures me they are real. No one has ever heard their song and survived, hence they have remained no more than fancy or rumour. I intend to hear that song and live to tell the tale. And this is how it will happen. I want you all to come forward one by one. I had in my hand a thick ball of beeswax. I tore off small pieces and rolled them into pellets with my thumb. The combination of the warmth and pressure from my thumb and the heat of the sun softened them. I gave each man two plugs of the wax and told them that on my command they should press them into their ears, sealing them fully, so that they would be able to hear almost nothing. But first I was to be tied upright to the mast, facing forward and bound as tightly as possible. "Now listen," I said. "Whatever you see me do, however wild my gestures and expressions, you are to ignore me. Even if I scream, plead, and weep loud enough for you to hear, you are to pay no attention, but just keep on rowing." Ahead of me, I saw the hazy outline of a small island. It grew bigger and clearer, faster than I had expected. "Right, quick, wax into your ears. Oarsmen, take your stations." At first, I heard nothing but the spray from the bow waves and the cry of a few seabirds circling above us. And then something began to steal into my ears. I don't know what I'd been expecting. Some distant and alluring strain that I would probably be able to resist, even were I not lashed to the mast. But what came to me seemed to sound right inside my head. It was so clear, so creamily warm, seductive and bewitching, that the shock of it, what I had not expected at all, was that the song addressed me directly and personally. "Odysseus, Odysseus, bravest and best of all the Achaeans, come, come to our island. We have so much to say to you. We know all that will come to pass. Steer your ship and we will tell you everything. Would you like to know about Telemachus, your son? What Penelope is doing this very minute? Would you like to know exactly how many days there are between now and your sighting Ithaca again? But more, we can tell you what men and women will say about you 50 years from now, 100 years, 500. Odysseus, they will be telling and retelling your story 3,000 years from now. And oh, the strange ways in which they will choose to tell it. It will astonish you. How we long to tell you." I know that my plain telling of this makes it all sound tame and ordinary. You will think that you could have resisted such a song with ease. It is hard for me to convey a proper sense of what I felt. But I knew I had to hear more. You would have felt the same, I promise. I nodded to Eurylochus and Perimedes, who were sitting on upturned barrels facing me. They did nothing. The rest of the men were at the oars. A few of them were looking at me and, damn them, laughing. I nodded to Eurylochus and Perimedes again, as strongly and meaningfully as I could, wild urgency in my eyes. They ignored me. "Odysseus, Odysseus," the sirens sang. "We have waited for you of all men. You have to hear more. You will not believe the changes that are coming to the world. Such astonishing, marvellous news. You will be the first to know. Only come to us. Come to us." I loosened one leg enough to be able to stamp my foot on the deck. I yelled. The yell turned into a scream. Finally, Eurylochus and Perimedes stood up. Thank the gods, they were coming towards me. I wriggled, writhed, and squirmed. "Untie me! Untie me now!" Eurylochus was chewing something. Perimedes had a faraway look in his eye. The pair of them came forward, and you know what they did? They tightened my bonds. The bastards just casually but forcefully pulled on the ropes I was bound with and tied new and tighter knots. That done, they turned round and calmly took their seats again. I filled the air with savage oaths and threats. The men rowed on. Eurylochus chewed. Perimedes looked into the distance. The siren's song was beginning to fade away. "Odysseus! Curse you! Curse you!" The honey-sweet strain soured into an angry scream. I cried out in relief and dropped my head. After a long while, the knots were loosened and I was standing free. The men were removing the plugs of wax from their ears, anxious to know what I'd heard. "I'll tell you later, boys," I said. "But first, look ahead."